True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
12:03 to go in the game. Chiefs lead 13-12. They have third down and goal to go at the 11.5-yard line of Houston. Three receivers to the right. Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game. An 11-yard touchdown. Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce. And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
There it is, our buddy back home, Nathan, doing all the hard work, as well as Mac doing the hard work on the ground. They're best friends now. They've talked to each other more than they've ever talked to each other in their entire life.
Miss you, Nathan.
Yeah, Nathan, we love you.
Love you, buddy.
Thanks, Nathan.
You, brother.
Hell of a week, real quick. Let's give it up for Nathan.
Yeah, seriously, Nathan, thank you so much.
Week. We love that for Nathan. We love that for him. Thank you so much for all the help. Without you, we are not doing this show. Without you, we don't have the content that we were supposed to have. Coming up here in like 5 minutes, apparently, Emmitt Smith. You remember him? Pretty good running back, right?
Yeah.
He's going to sit down with
All
us.
All right, that'll be great. Well, let's get into the script while we wait for Emmitt to get over here, right? Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, okay. There we go. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, all brought to you by my good friends over at Foaling. Check them out, 435 in State Line. You can go foal around and find out. Reserve a lane now at foalingkc.com. Who wants to get it started today?
All right, I'll do it.
You got to spout some takes, Bob.
Okay, come on, let me rip this. Okay, I think the Chiefs come out more prepared and more calm than you have seen any team ever come out for a Super Bowl. They've been here, they've done that. Why wouldn't they? I think the biggest problem with trying to stop the Chiefs' offense is you can't stop everything. You don't know what to stop. Fine, you stop Travis Kelce. Okay, they've got a slew of wide receivers. You want to stop the wide receivers? There's Kelce. They've got running backs. They've got, you know, two tight ends behind Travis Kelce who work. And plus, they've got a guy named Patrick LeVon Mahomes II. He's not too bad at this thing either. And once you finally figured it out, it's a Samaje Perine. It's a Juju. It's a Noah Gray. Dusty said it multiple times this week. It's a Justin Watson who could even come big on a third down. I think the game starts out close, 17-13 at halftime, and that's when the experience and swagger comes into play. Mahomes is going to be decisive. He's going to be quick in the pocket. DeAndre Hopkins is going to come up with the big play. So is Isaiah Pacheco. Jalen Hurts is going to turn it over twice. McDuffie getting an interception. That'll ascend his name into kind of pure household name status, and Chiefs win this game 31-20.
Guys, you got a blowout. I like that.
Love
Look at
it.
You.
Let's go. I'm learning, Bob.
You're learning. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite of the Rob Britton route. I think Karlaftis has a sack. I think Chris Jones has a sack. I think McDuffie has a pick. I think Nick Bolton has a huge tackle for a loss. I think the offense does its thing. I think Mahomes throws for 3 touchdowns. I think he runs for at least 40 yards. I think Xavier Worthy shows up big once again. The rookie, huge shoes to fill over this year. He's done it well. I think the Chiefs win 34-19.
There you go, a blowout as well. I think this one is pretty simple for all of those sitting in the back, which is what most of America has been doing when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. The three-peat happens, and it happens early. A quick three and out by Philadelphia to start the game, and then Patrick Mahomes takes over. He comes out firing, leads that team down the field for a 7-0 lead. It's Travis Kelce who gets into the end zone. The Eagles try to rally, but the panic starts to set in. Jalen Hurts ends up turning it over, and the Chiefs get a defensive touchdown. They're now up 14-0, and the celebration starts to begin. The Chiefs' defense shuts down Saquon Barkley. He never becomes a factor in this game. Mahomes finds everyone on the roster for at least one catch, and Chris Jones dominates that line of scrimmage, comes up with 2 big sacks, and the Chiefs win it 35-0, baby. Book it, mark it, done. Let's take care of business and roll the Philadelphia Eagles.
There you go.
Love it.
That's right. That's the script that we always get wrong. So hopefully we get this
right. Yeah, exactly.
We're
right,
always wrong. We never get it right. But that's the one that I want to get right. That's why you're short and to the point, Dusty. That's why you stay focused, Dusty. That's why you get ready for this game that will be played at 5:30 on Sunday that you can hear on 96.5 The Fan. All because it's brought to you by Community America Credit Union.
Yeah, and I like the fact that everybody's, you know, kind of sensing that blowout and feeling like it's going to be one of those games where we've gone into a lot of Super Bowls over the years where people think it's going to be close or where people think it's going to be a blowout, and it delivers the opposite of what you expect in this football game. And I kind of believe that, like, that's where we're going right now with this one. There's been so much talk, you know. Right. It's like gambling. They always say when the public bets on one side, you're kind of supposed to, you know, go to the other side because the public really doesn't know what they're talking about. I kind of feel like that's been the case all week in New Orleans, and really the week before we even got here to the Super Bowl, is that everybody's just been talking Philadelphia, talking Philadelphia, talking Philadelphia. The Eagles are the best roster. The Eagles are this. The Eagles are that. And it's almost like they forgot who the opponent is. It's almost like the Eagles have been that team that is the veteran-led team that's been here before. And they have, but, you know, 2 years ago. But the Kansas City Chiefs have residency at the Super Bowl. This is kind of our game now, right? And so I think when people start to talk about the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles, they continue to forget about the Chiefs, the Chiefs, the Chiefs, and Kansas City kind of likes it that way. And all of that talk about what's supposed to happen, more often than not, what's supposed to happen doesn't happen, and you see the opposite happen. And I kind of feel like that's where we're headed with this game with the Chiefs, because all the talk this week has been focused and centered on the running back for the Eagles, Saquon Barkley. All week long, it's been Saquon Barkley, and the Chiefs know who they need to stop. It's Saquon Barkley, and they shut him down. They win this football game, because I just don't believe Jalen Hurts is going to be able to win this game with his arm.
Shishon Barkley.
That's
is
right.
His name. We were told Emmitt Smith not here yet, should be here soon. So let's go to break. We'll come back on the other side, be joined by Emmitt Smith, the Hall of Fame running back for so many years, one of the best to ever do it in the sport. We'll talk to him about Shishon Barkley on the other side. I didn't make it the name. Hugh Douglas did. He's a Eagles representative. So it is what it is. Fesco, Mac, Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Chiefs go to that Rockinell. Now they go to a flip bone set. First down play. Mahomes keeps it on an RPO at the 5. Gets a lead block. He goes into the end zone near side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, a 16-yard run. His second rushing touchdown of the game.
What's that?
We're back here live on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks for joining us. We are now joined by Mark Donovan. How are you, sir? Of the Kansas City Chiefs here again in the Super Bowl, a third one in a row, a fourth in what, 6 years? This just never gets old, does it?
Never gets old, and you always take it and appreciate it. You never take it for granted, and the week's been great. It's been a very smooth operation. Experience is a great teacher, and we've had, as you said, a lot of experience in doing this, and the guys have just been like, they know what to expect, and we've been rolling.
Yeah, how vital is that to have that kind of plan in place versus everybody else? Now, I know Philly's been here the last 2 years, but, I mean, it feels like this is your game and everybody else is just kind of coming along for the ride, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, Bob, but, you know, we start planning for this probably end of October.
Yep.
Right? So we're in the planning mode, hoping it happens. And that gives us the ability to really just hit the ground running and execute. Got a great team around us. A lot of them have experienced 4 or 5 of these, so they've done it before too. And it just makes it a lot easier for us. Coach talks a lot about eliminating distractions.
Yep.
And that's huge this week. You know, everything as smooth as possible. Guys can just focus on football, practice, relax, and go win a game.
Yeah, when you look at this and you say smooth, relaxed, and everything like that, and we'll get into some more, you know, I guess, different type of questions, but we were there on the field Monday night. Bob noticed this before anybody in our group that we were with. Mahomes just looked like annoyed. He just looked focused, like, I hate that it's Monday. I wish it was Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's just go play the game. Let's get over all this stuff. We've done it before. We get what it is, but give me to Sunday.
Yeah, Brett and I were talking about that yesterday in the locker room before the practice. You know, the week sort of builds on you.
Yep.
You know, you get here, Sunday's sort of a easy day. Then Monday, you're like, okay, we're here, let's go. Tuesday, Wednesday, it's still, you know, you practice and it's normal. You just got other stuff going on around it. I think today going forward is when everything starts to lock down.
Yeah.
And you see that in the guys. The great thing is in our locker room, we've got such amazing leadership that, you know, we've got a lot of guys who've been here a lot and understand it, as I said. You got some new guys who've never been here before, and they're watching the veterans. And then what's really cool about this team especially is You got a guys who've been in the league a long time and have never done this. And that's really fun to watch, how that all interacts. And it sets up for a really special team this year.
It really does. And, I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt, we were talking with Mitch about those two guys who have never been here before but have been in this league for so long. Have you seen them this week? And what's it kind of been like to kind of watch it through the eyes of those two?
Yeah. You know, Coach has different players speak after practices a couple days a week. And he's had DeAndre speak to the team, and then he had Kareem yesterday speak to the team after it. And I'm not going to tell you everything they said, but I would tell you that their message, the theme of their message is how grateful they are to be here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 8, 10, 12 years in the league and to never have this opportunity. For them to say don't take it for granted, appreciate every minute, do everything we possibly can to win this game because you may never get back here. It just hits different when it's coming from a guy like that.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, coach or me or anybody else talking about it. So it's pretty powerful, and you can see it in both of them, just how much they appreciate the opportunity to be here and be part of this.
The Kansas City-Philly relationship is kind of unique here. I mean, a lot of you guys were there, now you're here, and, I mean, there's just kind of that synergy seemingly between the two cities and the two franchises. What's it been like for you?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, we were talking about this the other day, too. Like, if we talked prior to the Buffalo Bills game, and Veach and I were saying, like, to win a Super Bowl this year, we're actually going to have to win two Super Bowls. That Buffalo game is going to feel like a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then we're going to have to go either the Lions or the Eagles. And, you know, if you're going to go create more NFL history and do something that's never been done for us, of course it's going to be Philly, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's sort of a – it's not a full circle story, but for Andy, for a lot of our coaches, for Brett, for myself, you know, we know these guys really well. They know us really well. It's a great organization. It's a great culture. You know, different operations, but really good people. And the fact that both of these teams have been in this game so much recently speaks to that.
Talking to Kansas City Chiefs team president Mark Donovan here on 96.5 The Fan with Fesco and Dusty. So you talked to Brett about, you know, what you guys are going to do or how you're going to celebrate a Super Bowl in October. Announced, yes, I'm physically right. But again, we found out yesterday that Australia is going to be a home of a new game for the NFL.
Yeah.
Do you and Brett think to yourselves, like, man, I'd really like to go to Brazil. I'd like to take the wife and the family to Australia. Would like to go to London. Like, what do you think about the international aspect of football and where the Kansas City Chiefs, who are clearly the face of the NFL right now, hate them or love them, they're the face because of your success. How much can you continue to be the face outside of the United States?
Yeah, we about 4 or 5 years ago, we were sitting around the table talking about the international opportunity that we had. And this was our marketing team led by Laura Krug and some other really talented people. And at that time, it was we had become the new America's team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a lot of respect for what the Cowboys have done over the years. I've been in the league a long time. I've watched that happen. And I challenged our team and said, we don't want to be America's team. The Cowboys have earned that. We got to be bigger. What's bolder? And there's a great line from Lamar, and there are many great lines from Lamar, but one was dream big and set audacious goals. And he truly believed that was the only way you'd reach your full potential. And that was ringing in my ear at the time, and I was like, what's bigger than America's team? And I said, our goal should be the world's team. Right? And that was the reaction. And around the table was like, whoa. You know, it was a little bit
how
like,
long ago was
pull
that?
The reins. This was 5 years ago.
Okay.
I said, but let's think about this for a second. The NFL has never let teams actually market internationally. They're challenging us to go bid for markets. We've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame tight end, a Hall of Fame defensive tackle. We've been in more Super Bowls than anybody else since the Patriots did it. The world is shrinking. Social media and content consumption is now worldwide all the time, 24 hours a day. There are all kinds of distribution channels, streaming, everything else. Like, it went from a fear, like that may be too big a goal, to it's a responsibility. Right now we have this platform that we've never been on. This franchise has never been where it is today.
Right.
The world has never been the way it is today, and we have this opportunity that, to end the story, my goal is 30 years from now, there's going to be some kid in Madrid or Tokyo or Auckland, and he's going to be wearing a Chiefs jersey.
Yeah.
And you're going to walk up to him, and you're going to say, how'd you become a Chiefs fan? And he's going to answer the same way every kid in Kansas City does. My dad, my uncle, my teacher, my coach, they became a fan back in 2020, 2024.
Uh-huh.
30 years from now,
right,
the fans are going to be worldwide. And it's because of the things we're doing today.
I understand now why you do what you do.
I'm all in, man.
Yeah. It's a great, great way to view it, and it should be. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. Everybody in the world loves Patrick Mahomes. Now you've got the Taylor Swift aspect of things as well, which has only helped you grow the brand further. How much have you seen the brand grow, both like internationally and even like locally now, where you're taking over like the St. Louis market and the entire state of Missouri? Like, how much have you seen the brand grow in 5 years?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, they're all kind of measurements, right? A couple that I would point out, we're the first NFL team to have over a million subscribers on YouTube.
Wow.
The only other team that's ever done that in sports in the U.S. is the Golden State Warriors when they're doing their run. We are the number one brand franchise in the NFL by a couple of different measures. Now, there are a bunch of measures that say other teams are number one, but we're in the top five. If you look at internationally, in every single market that the NFL is in from an international standpoint, we're in the top five. In the top five of those markets, we're either one or two.
Oh, wow.
Right? So that's what I go back to say. We have never been in this place before. This franchise has never been on this platform. We've never had this popularity.
Right.
And, I should have mentioned Taylor Swift, that in the point of, like, the culmination of all this coming together right now is what creates that responsibility piece.
Yep.
Like, we got to take advantage of this. Like, if we don't do this right now, we're going to be looking back 20 years from now kicking ourselves. Like,
right.
What? That platform, it never existed again in sports. But the opposite is true. We're going to take full advantage of it.
Yeah, and you almost have to at this point in time. And you're right, the responsibility is there because it may never come around again, right?
Yep.
No other franchise may ever experience what we're experiencing right now in Kansas City, which leads me to the stadium conversation that I know you're tired of, I know I'm tired of, and I know the city, like everybody's tired of talking about the stadium stuff. But it's a real issue. You guys recently, had the survey of the fans and everything. What's the latest that you can tell us about, Arrowhead and the stadium stuff?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank all our fans. We had hundreds of thousands of surveys out with CSL. They do this for just about every major stadium project over the last 10 years. And we have a lot of quantitative and qualitative information coming in. The amount of data is crazy. If anybody who took the survey knows there were a ton of questions, right?
Yep.
And we'll take that all back and we'll look at what's feasible and what's most popular, things like that. I think that we haven't gone through all the data yet. They're still crunching the numbers. But I did ask the CSL people, like, give me your top couple points. What came out of it? And the first two were sort of we chuckled at, because it's almost like it gave us confidence, but it also was like, I hope our fans realize that we're fans too.
Yep.
Because the biggest takeaways they said were, number one, whatever you do, and it was equal. Like, they didn't care if it was a new building or if it was renovated Arrowhead, but it has to be loud.
Yes. Right? That's the number one thing.
It's like, got it. Yeah, whatever we do is going to be really loud. Trust me. We understand that. And then the second one was almost as obvious. Like, whatever you do, new build or renovate, it's got to have a massive tailgating opportunity. It's got to be the best tailgating ever.
Right.
Like, got that too. Like, trust me when I say this. No matter what we decide, it will have massive opportunities for tailgating and even better opportunities for tailgating, and it will be loud. It'll either be loud in the form of a renovated Arrowhead, or it'll be loud in the form of designing a stadium that is intended to be loud.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, though. Fans are like, we don't care if it's new or renovated. We just want tailgating and it to be loud.
Yeah, and that's sort of the subtle point behind it, too.
Yeah.
Is that the surveys came back, and it's like, there isn't like a 80% this way and 20% this way. And a lot of people took both surveys.
Right.
And they got it. Like, they understood, like, these are two really good options. Let's go figure out the best way to do that. To answer your question, we've made a lot of progress. I know our fans are probably a little tired of hearing me say that. But the reality is, this is a long, complex process. We're talking to two different states. We're talking to two different structures. The way that the political situation works in Kansas is different than the way it works in Jackson County and in Missouri. We've had meetings recently with the county. We're going to go down and see the folks in Jeff City next week. We've had a bunch of conversations with the folks in Topeka. And we got some sites picked out that make sense for a new build. We got obviously renovated opportunities and some things we've tweaked with the design on a renovation that make sense. So it's going to come down to, as we've known this all along, it's going to come down to what makes the most sense and then what gives us the best opportunity for our fans going forward.
Where are those sites for a new build, if you can?
Yeah, I would just tell you that people won't be surprised by the new site.
Okay.
And with that, we let team president of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mark Donovan, get on his way. You're a busy man. You're a kind man. We appreciate the
time, Dusty.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it. Mark Donovan of the Kansas City Chiefs, as we are always brought to you by Academy Sports with guests when it comes to that. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team. From Kansas City, we go to Dallas. We go to, I believe his name is Darren Woodson, former safety. We asked Darren, when is it time to hang it up?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were I used to cover the slot receiver and tight end and whomever as a safety, right? So I played the nickel all the time. The way the nickelbacks played today, right? So we're watching film. And it was a day after – it was a practice that we had. It was a Thursday practice. And we were doing what we call one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And I was covering someone. Now, actually, I was just watching the one-on-ones with the rest of our defensive backs. And this guy – lined up against a wide receiver, and I was like, man, that wide receiver ran right by that dude. Like, who the hell?
Oh, it's me.
It was me.
Oh.
And that was in my 11th year, and I was like, I just need to stop covering the slot.
Okay.
I need to start covering.
Who
I
mean, was that receiver?
It was a practice squad dude. Ran right by me, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So I kind of knew then, like, I need to move from I was playing safety on first down, and second, third down, I was playing the nickel. I was a nickel guy, right? I was like, I need to get out of that. And Parcells agreed with me. Parcells was my coach at the time. He said, yeah, you're going to move to safety the next year.
Yeah.
But that's when I started to see
a
little bit of the fall off. But then when I had a back injury my last year, I just knew I just couldn't get back to being the same guy, the same player. It was time
to
move.
So you essentially did play until the wheels came off.
The wheels came off, man. And when they came off, they came off.
They came off real fast. Yeah. And it happens overnight in this league.
It does,
like,
man.
You know?
It does. I had L4, L5, and I couldn't walk. And, you know, it was.
That's like the lower, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Parcells. We were talking about him yesterday on the show, having a conversation in the early days of Andy Reid, saying, your team's not very good. Here's my number. Call me if you need help.
Right.
But you had the opportunity to play for one of the greats of all time. I'm a huge, you know, let me just say this. I don't respect the majority of NFL head coaches. I don't think many of them are very good, right? This guy saying Duvall, like all these frauds that coach in this league. You play for one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
What's the difference in having somebody like a Parcells or a Reed or somebody that's that type of guy in that room versus some rando?
No panicking. There's no panic. There's no, you know, when the bullets are flying and things are going hysterical and there's guys having problems off the field or on the field, there's always a system in place that holds you. It's like a foundation that holds you in place. We were 5-11 three straight years. Parcells came in, same team, flipped us to 10-6, made the playoffs, same personnel. And it was just because of structure, understanding what we needed to be doing, the culture changed. And it's all those nuances. I've played against Andy Reid for, God, I can't tell you how many years. Like, this man is such a damn good coach. NFC, they were with the Eagles.
Four straight
NFC championships that they played in. Like, he knows how to coach. He knows how to he relates to players well. He has a great system. And people buy into his system because of the man that he is. And I think that's the favor of having a good coach. Now, when things aren't going good, you know what you can tell what a bad coach is? They panic. They start throwing excuse my
language. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
But they go off the charts, and they act differently. Players want to see consistency.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. And you know, like, I'm an old man now, so I've read the room with these coaches. I've seen these guys come through. You could spot them from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, then you got Andy Reid. Then you got Bill Parcells. Yep. Then you got a Bill Belichick. And people are starting to wonder, like, why does this Chiefs team always win? There's no tangible evidence to show why. Yeah. There's no numbers. There's all that. I think a lot of it, and really all of it, starts with that head coach, because when he came into Kansas City, the Chiefs were 2-14. Mm-hmm. We had a murder-suicide at the facility and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Flipped the 2-14 team. Basically same roster. Mm-hmm. Obviously switched out Matt Castle for Alex Smith, but essentially the same roster. Went 11-5 and made the playoffs the next year.
Yeah, It's just different, man. He's been, you know, it's hard when you play against him. First of all, you love the man.
Yeah.
Because he walks up to you, and I used to hate the fact that, you know, because you try to get play the Eagles, you're trying to get ramped up, and NFC East foe, you know, like
right.
It's a rivalry, and then coach walks up, and he's like, hey, you be nice today. And you're like, damn, dude, he's just.
I hate that I like
just,
you.
I like you, man. I don't know why I like you, but I do like you. But he's just special, man. And I'm always rooting for him.
Yeah.
I know what he's gone through personally in his life. I've watched him battle back. But I've also watched him build teams and watch the players who played for him. I just saw Hugh Douglas a minute ago.
Yep.
Sit down with him. He'll tell you what kind of man he is. He's just a great man.
Talking to Darren Woodson here on Fesco and Dusty. I want to bring this up because I think this is an interesting stat. It's one that I led with yesterday on a hit that I did at another radio station. There are only 7 players on this roster that were here 2 years ago Philadelphia.
Yeah.
How impressive is that for Brett
that's
Beach?
That's impressive. That's impressive. It's impressive to watch not only the turnaround they have, but this team was heavy offense. I remember when Alex Smith came in, and then when Mahomes really took over, offense just exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And then it became, in the last couple of years, you've seen this morphing of this defense that last year, if the defense doesn't play the way they play, they don't win that one last year.
Nope.
They stepped up. And you look at a Trent McDuffie and Chris Jones and the guys they have, they understand their role within this team. And I think that's, to me, is what's been the most prevalent of all the things that have gone on with this organization, the turnaround and different players and all. They just believe in their system. Mm-hmm. Like that, more than anything, they just believe in Spag and what Spag's throwing out there. They're eating it up and they're going with it.
Right. So, what would you do if you were playing against the Chiefs on Sunday? You're getting ready to line up in that safety position. You're looking at Patrick Mahomes, the whole thing. How would you try to shut them down? Can you try to?
Well,
shut them down?
One, you cannot win on third down. You can't let Kelce beat you on third down. You can't.
Or Pat to get out and run on third down.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest problem because he is the factor of him using his legs to maneuver through the pocket and buying time. That's what sucks about playing against, as a safety, playing against a quarterback like Mahomes. It's not like he's just going to run and take off all the time, but he buys time for receivers. And you can only cover, I don't care if you're Deion Sanders, if you're, you know, Rod Woodson, it's hard to cover a receiver. It's for longer than 2.5 seconds. I'm counting in my head.
Time.
That's
a
long time. So when he's buying time, and it wears you down. So he goes and gets it with his legs, and it's like, damn.
It's a heartbreaker,
here we go.
Right? Like, it's a dagger in the
it's
heart.
It's a dagger, man. So you're always trying to make sure you control him, but you got to have matchups. And you got to stay with your guys longer than you're used to staying with. So
again, we're talking to Darren Woodson here. So I want to ask you this, Spagnuolo. Like, what would you do to, like, if knowing what you know now, to have him, and I'm sure you had great defensive coordinators, not to take anything away from them, but to play under his system and his sort of leadership, what's that like to see?
I like
the wish you could have to play for that.
You know what, man? You know what I like about Spag? He's going to draw up something.
Yeah.
He's drawing up something that you know, just it's like a mastermind. You're giving him 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's drawing up something that's going to make Hurts really have to think about protection, where it's coming from. And I think it's kind of out there right now that if you get Jalen, if it's 3rd and 5 and you get Jalen Hurts off his spot and make him start to think and see things coming and take his eyes off the receivers, you got him out.
Can you read that as a defender? Like immediately, like, we got him
today. Oh, got him.
How do you know? Like, what do you look at?
Because when you start to look, when he starts to flinch and look at things and holds the protection, watch quarterbacks. They'll hold the protection for a little bit, thinking about, okay, where the hell – I know it's coming.
Yeah.
But where is it coming from? That's when you know – and I watched back just throughout the playoffs – even against, I think it was the Texans, you started to see him bring these little wrinkles, these little nuances. They played him once.
Yep.
Then they came back and played him again. And the second time, it was the pressure looked like it was coming from one, but it came from the opposite side. And it just freezes you for a little bit, and it gives you time to get there, right? So I just like the way they play. But I also like the talent, man. I like the linebacking core.
Yep.
I mean, people don't give them enough credit. They will punch you in the mouth now. Mm-hmm. They'll get after you.
They will. Bolton will absolutely.
And that damn number 22, McDuffie.
Cool. Stud.
He doesn't get enough credit. No. He is.
Never lost in the playoffs.
I have a buddy of mine.
That whole 22 draft class that's never lost in the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So I got a buddy of mine who's a big Chiefs fan watching the game with me last week. McDuffie gave, or 2 weeks ago, he gave up a touchdown pass to Buffalo.
Right.
And it was like.
It was Hollis.
It was a contested throw. Great throw. Good catch, touchdown pass. My buddy's like, McDuffie. I said, dude, do you know how many one-on-ones? That dude lives on the island.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's not just mortgaging. He lives on the island for 80 plays.
That's right.
He's going to give up a play, but he is a shutdown. He's a Revis type of dude, man.
And to go back to your point about Spags dialing it up, who was the guy that got in Josh Allen's face the very last play of the game?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's it. That was it.
But see, you say all that and you put all that out there, and people are still like, they're not scoring enough points. It's ridiculous. Like, there are certain fans that are just never going to be happy no matter what they do.
Oh, my God, dude. Hey, you're talking to a Cowboy fan now. Sorry. Shut up. I don't care if they win 3-0. Like, a win is a win is a win.
Exactly. Yeah. And in this league, it's so hard to win. Speaking of winning, Choctaw Casinos and Resorts, my man.
Casinos and Resorts, just in southeast Oklahoma, just across the border in Durant, Oklahoma. I live in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's a 60-minute drive for me. Everything you can imagine within a casino, they have the steakhouses, the outdoor pool systems. They got the big convention center where they do the best concerts in the world. Kevin Hart was there a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's just so many good good feeling. Oh yeah, I take my kids out there. We have a great time, man.
Yeah.
It's just a great resort to be at. And at the same time, if you're ever in Dallas, don't even think about flying to Vegas. Go right down 75, 45, 50-minute drive to Choctaw Casino. Have a good time.
Half Cherokee and Choctaw.
There
right?
you go.
So we'll wrap this up. You've already said it. No way you're taking Philly in this game. Can't do it, won't do it, not going to do it?
No, man. Look, hey, I don't mind Philly. Look, I don't – I'm past that point.
Okay.
You know, still, but I don't like any of the NFC East teams, but I do. There's a respect factor mm-hmm. for them, yeah. And I think they are a very, very good team. I'm just in the midst of greatness right now.
So you're going
and I'm
Chiefs.
I'm going Chiefs, man. I just until someone beats them, until someone tells 1-5, hey, dude, no, we're gonna sit up on the championship table. Until someone does it, then
are you willing to concede he's the greatest of all time if he three-peats?
No. Because there was a dude a couple of years ago. I don't know how many he went to. How many of these does he
have?
He
went to 10, won seven.
Well, Brady.
Yeah, but Bill Russell won 7 rings.
No,
is he considered the best
dude.
NBA
no,
player?
No. Look, I would say this. In this generation, we're watching Pat Mahomes become probably the greatest. Mm-hmm. I think he's on the way. I think even if he wins this one, you can put him in there because he's done it in, 7 years?
Yeah, and he's got nothing but time. So.
And he's got time on his hands. So, right. You know, I think he's the best quarterback in football. But if you're going to say of all time, Brady's got 7 rings, man.
Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
That was Darren Woodson, a legendary football player in the NFL, and he was – brought to you by, which all guests are, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their 3rd straight title. And the Academy Sports and Outdoors store has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run.
That was one of our best interviews of the week.
Yeah, he was great.
You know, Darren was so good. And like, I don't want to say I fell in love with him, but I did. You know, like, I wish I had a Hall of Fame vote because that guy does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He did not get in last night. Jared Allen, Eric Allen got in. Somebody else got in. Sterling Sharp, and there's a fourth person. And I'm drawing a blank over who is the fourth person to get in.
Antonio Gates.
That's right. Exactly. Antonio Gates, one of the great tight ends. I forgot about
him. He played basketball, too.
I do. I heard that. You know who else played basketball?
Tony Gonzalez
played basketball as well. Yeah, I heard that.
Do you know Julius Peppers played basketball?
I did know that.
Do you know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard?
Yeah. Did you know Laurent Duvernay-Tardif was a doctor?
Yeah.
What's the overtold story on this Chiefs team? Taylor Swift dates Travis Kelce, I think. I think that's probably the overtold story of this year's Chiefs team. Because every other Chiefs game, you know, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the announcers would act like, nobody's hurt. He's a Canadian doctor and all
the
this
doctor.
Kind of stuff. The doctor is in.
Do you know Andy Reid used to punt the ball when he was like 14, but was actually 8.
Punt, pass, and kick. Yeah, Andy Ryan at the time was spelled.
Did you know Clark Hunt's dad actually owned the team first?
He did. Yeah. So, you know, they used to be the Dallas Texans. Mm. Didn't we have some nitwit tell us yesterday he expects the team to move back to Dallas?
Yes.
Where did that take place? Was that at the bar?
Yeah,
last
might have been.
Night?
I think that was at the bar.
That's right. Some guy told us he expects the Chiefs to, because of their stadium issues, to end up moving back to Dallas. That's what it was. Chiefs have stadium issues. They're moving back to Dallas. No, I don't think that they are. And clearly, we just had the president on. There's no stadium issues. They got plenty of options.
Chiefs president.
Yes.
That's Chiefs right. President.
Chiefs president, Mark Donovan.
Because that other president will be
he
in
will
Tampa.
Be here.
So, like, you kind of have to. I mean, it's weird. You have to be honest.
What would you do if the president was walking Radio Row? How awesome would that be, right?
I would go up to him and give him my impersonation, and I would probably get a handshake and a thumbs up. And then I would go wash my hands. Anyways, on the other side, we'll get to our cover, too. Again, that'll be brought to you by Low and Slow, the first ever barbecue smoked potato chip and cheese puffs, now available everywhere in stores in Kansas City, especially that place we always go called Hy-Vee. We'll get to our cover two on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Pat Mahomes.
A minute 35 to go in the game. Chiefs lead 32-29. They throw it in the left flat. Cut! It's Samaje Perine at the 30. First down! And up the left sideline! I love you, Samaje Perine! I remember when Brett Veach told me they picked him up. It's a gain of 18 yards. I poured water on my head. A great pickup by Brett Veach to get Samaje Perine. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull this off. Perine comes up big on a 17-yard completion.
There you go. I love Samaje Perine is the best part of that and that entire thing.
I think
thing,
I'm going to pour water on my head was my favorite part. I didn't hear that one in the past. Great stuff from Mitch Holthus there on 96.5 The Fan with the Samaje Perine ice in that game, and that's got us to where we are, and that's Super Bowl Sunday, baby.
That's right, and if you would like to know where you can find all of that action on Super Bowl Sunday, look no further than 96.5 The Fan, because the big game will be on this station. They will cover it here on 96.5 The Fan, and it is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Let's get into our cover, too, because there's not a whole lot to cover the rest of the season. Normally, we would do this at the season. For everybody that listened, thank you very much. For everybody that's been a part of the cover, too, or what maybe you would cover, which might be, I'm going to watch Washington because they got a really good rookie quarterback, but I'm also going to watch what Kevin O'Connell can do this week. This week, it's the cover two of the Super Bowl, Bob, and yep. I don't know what you're covering, but I'm interested to know what two things you'll be covering this weekend of the Super Bowl.
Well, to me, it's pretty simple. It comes down to, I think, two players in this football game. It comes down to Patrick Mahomes, and it comes down to Saquon Barkley. Those are the two guys that I'm going to be covering. Pat Mahomes goes out there and does his thing like he normally does in big games, leading his team to victory. That's what I'm going to be watching out of him. And then I'm going to be watching Saquon Barkley because he is the key. He is the guy that the Eagles have to count on to win their games. And if neither of those guys play big, it's going to be interesting to see who steps it up. But I think both of those guys are going to be the keys to their team coming away with a win on Super Bowl Sunday. It's Patrick Mahomes and it's Saquon Barkley. And then, quite frankly, it's everybody else.
Yeah, my cover two this weekend starts with the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles versus the defensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs. Minnehue, Chris Jones, Karlaftis, all those guys that they, you know, shuffle in and shuffle out. That offensive line, I still believe, I don't care what people say, yeah, they've had rest, yeah, they've done this. It's still a little beat up. It's still a little bruised. And you have a Chiefs defensive line. That is not. There is no narrative to that. Yeah, you can be able, Chris Jones a couple weeks ago had a sore calf or whatever it may be. Yeah, the guy's ready to go. The guy hadn't had that problem for the last 3.5 weeks. That is no longer an issue.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
That offense, well, I mean, it was, yeah.
No, back, oh, yeah, but yeah, I'm saying, like, recently, yeah, yeah, I totally forgot about it is what I'm getting
at. That's exactly what it is. So, I mean, you look at, like, some sort of soft spot in this, I don't know, greatest roster of the NFL that is the narrative of the Philadelphia Eagles, that's your soft spot. That's the little spot in the Death Star that Luke was able to find and hit it and make it explode from the inside out. That's where you stop the Philadelphia Eagles. That's that spot. You get into that little middle ground, you take away that offensive line, Saquon Barkley cannot be himself because he has not got that offensive line where that defensive line can break through. So there is a chance. The other thing that I'm covering, Pat Mahomes. Man, go get your three-peat. This is the one's for you. This is the title that you wanted since you won your back-to-back title. You are so just wanting this ring that you didn't even soak in the fact that you had won back-to-back, something that was brought down that you couldn't do because Tom Brady is the reason that you didn't get the first back-to-back. Now you have a chance to go get your three-peat. You told Chris Jones, with a child of yours in your arms with confetti raining down and your Mahomes pro, that let's go get a third one. It's never been done before. Let's go get a third one. Didn't even let that one sink in. So I'm watching Patrick Mahomes, and I'm hoping and I'm praying that we get that sort of competitive prick that he was once called in this game. You can have your roster. You can't have this quarterback, and you can't have this kind of coach. So the two things I watch, Patrick Mahomes and greatness and legacy moment, Andy Reid and that defensive line against that offensive line of Nick Sirianni and the Eagles.
I mean, yeah, what's Mahomes going to say after this one, right? I mean, is he, all right, four in a row, no one's done it.
Well, yeah, that's what you have to do,
that's
right?
That's what he's going to do.
You just don't stop.
Exactly.
You just don't stop until it does stop, right? You just don't stop. So
don't
you keep
stop
going
so you
and
get
go,
it up.
You keep going and you keep going. Yeah, I mean, you win this one, and obviously you're saying, well, let's go for four.
Let's keep going.
Who's going to tell you no? Travis is coming back. Mahomes is coming back. Reed's coming back. Joe, you got the core back.
Mac, what are you covering this weekend?
Xavier Worthy, rookie wide receiver. This is he's kind of catapulted as the number one weapon outside of Travis Kelce when they pass the ball. He's their target guy. And you know what? It hasn't been through that we've been just vying for a deep ball, right? These big plays. But it's actually been really the possession plays that he's been able to, you know, good curl route, get a first down, make a man miss on a screen route, whatever it is, a jet sweep. If he can keep doing that, get 5-6 catches, get a couple of first downs, just be that other fail-safe for Patrick Mahomes, that's what I'm watching. A rookie wide receiver, second year in a row that the Chiefs have had a guy who starts off a little slow, finds his way, and by the Super Bowl, by the playoffs, is one of the most impactful players on the team. I'm looking for that from Xavier Worthy.
I mean, that's just what we see in Kansas City.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way it works. You start out kind of slow, and then
figure it out.
Boom, we're going to count on you. We drafted you for a reason,
yep.
Right? We've got you here for a reason. We can count on you to get the job done, and that's what they're doing with Xavier Worthy. He's become, arguably, outside of Travis Kelce, the most reliable, counted-on, trusted wide receiver pass catcher we have.
And then Spagnuolo. They did NFL honors. They did NFL Hall of Fame stuff last night. And I know no assistant coaches are in the Hall of Fame, but again, not even a mention, not even his name written down or said anywhere. I mean, this guy is just Super Bowl city. I'm looking for that to be another little added piece of motivation for Spagnuolo and this defense to be flying around.
When we come back, we're going to play Greg Olsen. And before we play that, because he sat down with us yesterday, so we want to let you hear what he had to say. But before we play that, when we come back, we're going to play you what this Philadelphia radio host did. He called local bars. If you've missed it, he called local bars in Kansas City saying, go Birds. We'll play you what they had to say as they defended their city like you all would. And we defend you guys here in New Orleans live on Radio Row. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.